It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Ferenc Stoth. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Ferenc is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Ferenc cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Ferenc Stoth.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ferenc. We have a lot to cover today, so we're just going to jump right into it. Probably the biggest economic news we're dealing with right now is this. It has to do with unemployment. I've been discussing on this show now for well over a year that one of the bright spots in the economy, what's prevented us from going into recession, has been the low unemployment and strong consumer spending. The two kind of go hand in hand. In other words, if folks have jobs, they have income, they tend to spend money. When they don't, obviously, they don't. This is from a Senate hearing from Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve. And as he stated himself, the biggest issues that we're dealing with now going forward, the economy, is not just high inflation, but it's also unemployment. And I'm going to share with you a few reasons why the Fed and economists are starting to really take a strong look at unemployment and why this is such a big issue. First of all, the unemployment numbers have been ticking up slowly, slightly, but they've been going up consistently over the last several months. And as they've also stated, the big question that keeps coming to mind is, when will we see interest rate cuts? And I've been saying for a while that there's no reason to see interest rate cuts because inflation has been far higher than the Fed's target rate of 2%. We're in the 3% range now. They're not ready to reduce interest rates yet, as Jerome Powell stated. They want to see more economic information before they make a decision, but they are now starting to be concerned about unemployment numbers starting to climb too high, which means that a interest rate reduction, or at least a slight one, might be on the table at this point before the end of the year. Honestly, don't anticipate a lot, a big change. Might see one, a quarter point, maybe two, but that would be about it most likely. Probably nothing's going to happen till this fall at the earliest. But like Jerome Powell stated, he said the cooling labor market over the past 2 years is not the only risk we face. Elevated inflation, of course, is the other one. And they recognize the issue they have is inflation is cooling. The economy is slowing down. But if they overdo it, then unemployment could rise quite a bit more. We could fall into recession. And trying to find that sweet spot, that balancing point, is extremely difficult. Look, I don't envy the job the Federal Reserve is trying to do. I wish they wouldn't do it, manipulate as much as they do, because they do tend to cause these boom and bust cycles. We've seen it, well, frankly, ever since monetary policy has become predominant. I mean, you take the look at the last 25 years, roughly, and all it is really boom and bust cycles, but that's beside the point. The reality is, for them to be able to land this plane, so to speak, is very difficult, very tricky, and they've rarely accomplished, but successfully accomplished it. So as we go forward, the key thing to look at, again, as these article after article are saying the U.S. economy faces a new threat, it really is the weakening labor market, the jobs numbers, unemployment numbers going up. You want to keep a really close eye on that, because that is probably the determiner of whether we go into recession or not. And in fact, this one article from Yahoo Finance, I think, really spells it out very well. It states one of the most accurate recession indicators is close to sounding the alarm as unemployment continues to rise. And the unemployment indicator is this: if unemployment increases 0.5% from where it was 12 months prior, that indicator has accurately predicted recession every single time since 1970. So if you have a three-month average that is 0.5% higher than the three-month average a year prior, it's accurately predicted, I should say, a recession every single time since 1970. We are currently at 0.43%. So we're only 0.007% below the 0.5-point increase of unemployment from a year ago. So if we continue to see a weakening in the labor market, an increase in unemployment, you can see why the Federal Reserve is so very concerned, and rightly should be. But the other issue that makes it even more complicated, we've discussed this on this show quite a few times also, is what are the accurate jobs numbers? Four of the last 5 months in 2024, the headline jobs numbers have been revised down. In 2023, 11 of the 12 months, the headline jobs number was then later revised down. Now, you can't be wrong 11 out of 12 times last year, 4 out of 5 times this year, and there not be pattern. And again, every time, they're not revising the jobs upwards, they're revising the numbers down. In other words, they're overestimating how many new jobs there actually are and then revising them down. And the revisions are not small. For example, in January of 2024, the revision down was almost 100,000 jobs. They estimated 353,000. They revised it down to 256. That's a huge revision just in 1 month alone. Why would the Department of Labor be so far off, so wrong, by nearly 100,000 jobs just in 1 month? Well, the obvious answer is political reasons. They're wanting to headline, announce larger numbers of new jobs for political reasons to make the current administration look good, and then later, a month or so later, very quietly revise them down because many people do not pay attention to the revision. They just look at the initial number. But at this point, it's becoming so commonplace. Again, 11 out of the 12 months in 2023, jobs numbers were revised down. So far, 4 out of the 5 months in 2024, those are wrong 90% of the time. And as this one article discusses, is the initial headline number even worth following anymore? Well, as long as you have a politically focused Labor Department, the answer is no. I mean, think about this. If you had a job and it was your job to predict or analyze or run numbers on unemployment or anything else for that matter, and you were wrong 90% of the time, how long would you keep that job? In other words, why do we need people in the Labor Department even counting these jobs if they are wrong so often? They should clean house, frankly. We don't need to be paying these people to basically be political operatives, because that's what they are. It's not real numbers. But to make matters worse, since June of 2020, the number of government jobs has increased consistently, pretty much on a straight line increase. It's gone from about 1.8 million jobs in June of 2020 to well over 2 million jobs 4 years later. It's pretty much a straight line without stopping. In other words, the government keeps hiring more people, spending more money. Frankly, in my opinion, government jobs should not be counted in the jobs numbers because government jobs do not enhance the economy. They do not contribute to the economy. Elon Musk said this a while back, you have to have referees, and that's really the government's job, is to referee the game. But when there's too many referees and there's too many rules, that ruins the game. When there's more referees than players, the game is ruined, isn't it? And that is exactly what we see happening. These are not people that are contributing to the economy, contributing or producing anything. They're actually taking away. They're a cost. The government is not the engine of the economy. It's the caboose. It's along for the ride. Business, small business, entrepreneurs, people working, those people that work and create, those are the economic engine. If we remove the new government jobs out of the equation over the past 4 years, the new jobs numbers would be some of the worst numbers we've ever seen since they've been counting these numbers. That's the real story. That's the real issue. That's what's really going on. So this tracker of losing 0.5% or increase of 0.5% of unemployment increasing is even more dramatic when you consider the majority of new jobs are coming from the federal government. It's not a good scene. It's not a good picture. It's not something that any person should be pointing to as a success. I understand politically, current administration keeps trying to do that. When you look under the hood and you actually look at the numbers for what they really are, you realize how abysmal they really are. And as more and more people come to realize this, and that is happening, we are going to see negative economic effects as a result. Again, I have said this repeatedly. I'm an optimistic kind of guy. I generally am an optimistic person. I am still optimistic about the long-term future of this country economically and otherwise. But I'm very pessimistic on the short term, and I'm talking about the next 1, 2, 3 years because of the economic damage that is occurring through excess government spending, inflation. Now we're starting to see an uptick in unemployment, far too many government jobs. These are all going to have detrimental, negative economic impacts that we'll be dealing with for the next several years. This isn't going to maybe decade or longer. I believe higher for longer in terms of bond interest rates, certainly. And as I've stated repeatedly, the things that survived, or I should say thrived in the last decade in a low interest rate environment, stocks, real estate, things like that, are now going to struggle in the next decade. Things that did not do so well, fixed income, CDs, dividends, those kinds of things that didn't not necessarily struggle in the past decade, but didn't thrive, they didn't have high returns, are now thriving. I'm going to share this again. I've been doing this repeatedly. This is the best time we have seen in over 40 years for high cash value dividend insurance policies and annuities for that matter. I'm looking at policies. In fact, I looked at two this week alone where folks had invested in an annuity 2, 3, 4 years ago. Comparing them to the annuities today, the returns, the potential upside returns on the new annuities today are 3 and 4 times higher, three and four fold increase. It's not a small increase, folks. It's a dramatic one. So what I'm going to say is if you have an annuity or you were considering one, there's never been a better time. If you have one that's more than 2 years old, there's never been a better time to consider comparing it to one of the newer ones because of the higher interest rates. And you could significantly increase your returns. And even if you have a penalty, we have products that'll pay significant bonuses to pay off that penalty, upwards of 16% even, folks, in a good upside potential product. So again, if you have an annuity that you purchased 2 years or older prior, you really should take a look at what the newer ones look like and compare and see how you can significantly increase your returns safely, insured with guarantees. Contact me at yourpersonalbank.com for more information if you're interested. Stay tuned. I'm going to discuss some things about the U.S. economy that has now shifted in reverse.
Are you concerned about the direction our country is headed and how it may affect your money? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Your Personal Bank provides a place to grow your money safely with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This keeps your money safe, and you can take advantage of opportunities regardless of the economic situation. For more information, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. And yes, you will reach me. It's yourpersonalbank.com. Or toll-free 866-268-4422. Newest bit of economic information that is extremely important. A CNN business article discusses a key part of the American economy has shifted in reverse. And that key portion is consumer spending. If you've listened to the show any period of time, you know I've been sharing how consumer spending has been the one bright spot over the last 3 years, roughly, in the economy. And it's been the part that has kept us from going into recession. Some of the big reasons, of course, all the extra COVID relief funds poured into the system, poured into people's savings. We had excess savings levels that we've never seen. For example, in roughly August of 2021, there was over $3 trillion of excess savings, $3 trillion more savings over and above the average in the American consumers' pockets. The long-term savings rate, this has been true for decades, has been about 4% of annual income. We are far above that because of all the COVID relief measures. Well, we are now actually at below pre-pandemic levels, below average savings rates. In other words, the excess savings from the COVID relief has now been spent, which makes sense because we're now seeing in the U.S. economy real signs of weakness in consumer spending. And again, consumer spending accounts for about two-thirds of GDP, gross domestic product. So it's a really big deal. Consumer spending weakness also contributes to higher unemployment rates. We're seeing slightly increased unemployment rates for the past 3 months. But the big thing, this is one of the gauges, it's called the Supply Management Monthly Survey, and it gauges economic activity in the service sectors. The headline index reading fell to 48.8, and it was in May 53.8. Anything above 50, it means the service sector is increasing. Anything below 50 means it's shrinking. In other words, consumers are spending less money. Consumers start spending less money on services, obviously unemployment starts to tick up because businesses start laying people off or letting people go or not hiring as much. Services are probably the most susceptible to economic headwinds. And this is why it's such an important thing to watch and an early indicator of a likely or upcoming recession. This is something very, very important to keep an eye on. This is also why the Atlanta Federal Reserve has now reduced their real GDP growth estimate for the second quarter of 2024 to 1.7%. They had, until recently, were anticipating or estimating over 4% GDP growth. That's cutting it in more than half. And by the way, folks, a 1.7% GDP growth rate for our country is very anemic. It's a pathetic number. 2% is considered the low end. 3 is kind of healthy. 4 and above is great. So anything below 2 is really not a good number. And that's what the Atlanta Federal Reserve is now predicting for second quarter 2024. Obviously, if we have a negative GDP growth, we are in recession. 2 quarters in a row is the official definition of recession. But it goes on. This why are these things so important? Well, again, it affects the stock markets, certainly. As this article states in Markets Insider, stocks will struggle and a recession is on the table if the Fed fails to cut rates by September. And this is according to Wharton professor Jeremy Siegel. Whether the Federal Reserve is going to cut rates in September or not is really an open question. It's probably about a 50-50 shot now, if you had to ask anyone, because unemployment numbers are starting to tick up. But unfortunately, inflation numbers, although not as high as they were and coming down, are still not at the 2% level that the Federal Reserve wants them to be. And that's the quandary. What do they do? What are they going to do? No one really knows. And unfortunately, the stock market in general has been extremely bullish, extremely aggressive in pricing in interest rate cuts. It's still predicting 2 or 3 interest rates cuts for 2024. I think 3 is very highly unlikely. 2 is probably the max, and 1 might be on the table before the end of the year, but it's really hard to say. Again, it's probably a 50-50 shot at this point. That's what most indicators are saying. So be very careful. Proceed with caution. I've been saying this for a while, but now we are really getting to the point where it's like getting close to the edge of the cliff. I'm not saying for sure we're going into recession, but the likelihood of that happening now is almost greater than ever. Every indicator there is just about points to it. And we really truly are on a precipice, on the edge of the cliff, whether we fall into recession or not, which will have dramatic, significant impacts in the stock market for sure. That's what reacts, obviously, the quickest. So if you have ways to protect yourself, like diversifying, getting into some things that are guaranteed, insured, your personal bank does that with high liquidity. If you want to re-enter the market at some point in the future, not a bad option. you should contact me and I can share with you more ideas on how you can do that, how it can impact you at yourpersonalbank.com. What I'm trying to say is the risk has been elevated for a while and it's continuing to be that way. And we're getting closer and closer. And one of the things, again, this comes back to human nature. One of the things that we get caught on, you know, there's fear and greed, right? We all know about those human emotions that affect us on making investment decisions. And when things have gone so well for so long, some people have done really well, even up to recently, if they were in the tech stocks area, which I'm going to discuss some more here in a bit. But it's hard to kind of pull away and cash in those chips and not try to grab a little bit more. Wall Street is really geared towards that. The investors, the people that are do this for a living, even some of them that are feeling privately very bearish are still involved in investing because they have to keep their job, so to speak. If they work for a firm, what are they going to do? Tell people to sell everything and get out? And if they're an advisor, what are they going to do? If they tell people to go to cash, for example, they stop money under management under those things. So there's a conflict of interest. And frankly, it's not coming from me. Just read Snowball, which is Warren Buffett's autobiography. He discusses this quite extensively, the inherent conflict of interest that many advisors have when they're trying to give advice and there's a potential recession or pullback coming, what they should do, what they should recommend. It truly is a conflict of interest because, again, if an advisor recommends to go to cash, for example, the money under management stops. I mean, I think most people understand that. And I'm not saying that they're bad people or anything. It's just a tough call to make because you're cutting your own income, if you know what I'm saying, by doing that. And when is the recession going to hit? No one really knows. So that's, again, another dilemma. All I'm trying to say is the risk is elevated as it's probably ever been of a pullback or of a recession. I've got some more articles and such that can share. And we're getting closer and closer to that point of no return, where if it does happen, it's going to happen soon, much sooner than later at this point. And here's another reason why. How concentrated has this market become? Well, here's a perfect example from the Kobayashi letter. Just 17% of S&P 500 stocks have outperformed the index over the past 30 days, which is the lowest share in over a decade. In other words, only 85 stocks of the S&P 500 have had higher returns than the index itself over the past month. And by comparison, the long-term average is about half, obviously, of S&P 500 stocks will outperform the S&P 500. Again, it's the average. About half will outperform, about half will underperform. Well, right now we're only at 17% outperforming, which means the other 80-something percent are underperforming, the other 83%. Big tech pretty much is everything right now, and almost everything else is underperforming, and that is not a healthy market. I think any reasonable person understands that. This is why I have another article from Business Insider talking about how a top 2% fund manager, he's outperformed the indexes for the past 15 years, and yet he sees trouble ahead for major stock market indexes. I mean, it's article after article. Here's another one. The stock market will drop, they're saying, 32% later this year or in 25 as the Fed fails to save the economy from a recession. This is a research firm from Markets Insider article. And they said the Fed will fail to prevent a recession as it takes its time cutting interest rates. That's what they believe. History's on their side. The Fed has had a horrendous history of doing the right thing at the right time to prevent bubbles or recessions, for that matter. It's just an inherently, it's like trying to predict the top or the bottom of a market, and it's inherently next to impossible to do. I mean, they're just human beings, and human beings cannot predict what's going to happen with the markets. We all know that. It's extremely, extremely difficult. As I'm saying, I can't stress strong enough, if you are not diversified, now's the time to do so. We're getting closer to the precipice. If we go into recession, it is going to happen soon. Diversification always makes sense to reduce risk, but even more than ever at a time like this. Having some money insured, guaranteed, even tax-free, highly liquid, makes a ton of sense. You can do that with your personal bank, and you can then redeploy funds when the market does have a correction. I mean, will the market have a correction? The answer is, of course it will. The question that can't be answered is when, how much, and for how long. But just look at history. It's gravity. You can defy gravity for a period of time, but eventually the laws of nature catch up. They always do. So if you want to learn how to diversify, protect some of your money, get some good returns on it, reduce risk, reduce taxes, and then have funds, the majority of the funds available to redeploy when the opportunity presents itself, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. Now I'm going to share another thing about a lot of people haven't paid attention to yet, and that is companies are now starting to go bankrupt at some of the fastest paces we've seen in years. So stay tuned.
Are you prepared if we fail to avoid a recession? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Most of the leading economic indicators show we are headed for recession. Your Personal Bank earns dividends with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This protects you from the downside risk and allows you to take advantage of opportunities in a changing economy. For more info, contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. When people contact me, they often ask, what exactly do you do? And yes, if you contact me, I, Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show, will respond, not an assistant. I help people increase their returns, reduce taxes, increase positive cash flow, and reduce market risk. I accomplish your goals using various financial tools, including Your Personal Bank. If you have questions or would like to discuss your situation, contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to contact me about more information on how to reduce your market risk, reduce your taxes, keep your money highly liquid, get some decent returns on it while you're waiting for a good opportunity to diversify, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I'd be happy to help you. And yes, you will reach me at yourpersonalbank.com. There's this other article I really need to bring up, and I thought this was highly poignant about where we're at in the market and looking at history and markets and all this. And the point they're making here is AI, as he stated, is effectively useless, and it's created a fake it until you make it bubble that could end a disaster. And this is from a veteran market watcher, a Fortune article. And I like this because, you know, to say something negative against AI is almost sacrilege right now. There's a lot of hype going on, no avoiding it. But as he points out, robot assistance and miracle cancer cures, all that AI fanfare may work in Silicon Valley for investors and stuff. But the reality is, and this is from James Ferguson, it's created a concentrated market bubble that's reminiscent of the dot-com era. And as he stated, these historically end badly. Anyone that's sort of been around a little while knows that this sort of thing, they've seen it before, and it's tempting, but most likely is going to end very, very badly. And as he states, AI remains, well, really completely unproven. It may turn out to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, no question. But it's still very new. It's very untested. As he points out, it takes a lot of energy to run a lot of these AI systems and programs. And there's a lot of companies that will come to realize the cost to run these programs, to run these systems, will just be prohibitive. So AI may not end up being the panacea that Silicon Valley is currently hyping, and we may end up with another dot-com bubble like we saw in early 2000s, like 2000. It happened pretty quickly for those of you. I remember that. I was involved with that myself. And the beauty of this is I had clients. Again, I've been focused on the safe money side of things my entire 25-plus year career. Most people understand having some of your money protected, guaranteed, diversifying makes sense as you're nearing or in retirement, it becomes even more important. And those time frames when I would do yearly reviews with my clients in 2001 and 2002 or 08, 09, and 10, those periods where the markets were doing horrendous. And I was able to meet with them and say, hey, I've got some good news and bad news. It's funny, when it comes to financial news, invariably folks want to know what's the bad news. They want to hear the bad first. Well, the bottom line is, the bad news is, I'd say, well, you didn't make any money this last year. And they're like, okay, what's the good news? Well, you didn't lose any either. And especially when we saw, you know, 20 and 30 and even 40% drops in the markets, they would often say, how in the world did you do that? How did you manage to, everybody knows losing money, how do we manage to keep our funds? Well, we did a lot of index annuities and such then. Your personal bank dividend policies did really well through those periods also. That kept growing. So my point is this, if you're continuing to grow through a down period, you actually end up being far ahead of somebody who rode the roller coaster back down and then needs to recover. If you look at those two cycles, the dot-com bubble and then the 08-09 period, if you were invested in those periods and stayed invested, to get back to even took 7 and 10 years, folks, just to get back to even. Where if you were making money throughout that time or didn't lose on the downs like annuities do, the principal's guaranteed, and then you grow, you earn, your money grows during the up times, you actually end up having oftentimes far more money than you would have if you rode that roller coaster throughout the whole process. Also, it's a lot less stressful. There are people that are wired to handle risk. That's a fact. But the other fact is, human nature studies show that only about 20% of Americans are wired that way. About 80% are not, particularly when it comes to their finances. They're not wired to take a 10 or 20% hit in their investment portfolio. Some people are, but the vast majority are not. And as one of the things I state all the time, if your portfolio dropped 20% in the next couple of months, would you lose some sleep over that? That's one of the tells. I can tell you repeatedly, I would meet with clients again, in 01, 02, or 08, 09, those time frames. They weren't clients of mine yet, and they were prospective clients, and they had investments that were subject to market risk. And they would often say, and it was typically the wife would say to me, he hasn't even opened his mail because he doesn't want to look at the statements. In other words, they put their head in the sand. Putting your head in the sand is probably not the best way to focus on investing. And if that's what your life is like, or that's what your emotional state is like, probably not the best way to enjoy retirement, obviously. My point is, you don't have to continue doing what you've always done. Granted, the past decade, I've stated this repeatedly, it worked really well in a low interest rate environment, easy monetary policy. Absolutely, we saw historic stock market gains and real estate gains. Doesn't mean it's going to continue. In fact, with the higher interest rate environment, higher inflation, likely not going to continue. In fact, most likely will be the opposite. So what you've been doing, what you did do the past decade that worked so well, is very unlikely to work in the next decade. You have to change your strategy, and that's what your personal bank can do for you. Annuities can do that for you, where your money's guaranteed, it's safe, it'll grow in good years with annuities, won't lose in bad years. Your personal bank, we can ensure you have dividends, you earn money, grows every year consistently, get with guarantees, tax-free. It's just a lot less stressful way to live, folks. And the reality of it is this. I've done this for 25 plus years. It's the very, very rare occasion where I run into somebody looking at their portfolio over the last decade or two, somebody who was a real risk taker, okay? And it's very rare where I've seen that risk taker having significantly more assets or portfolio value than the person that was more steady, consistent. It hardly ever happens. And they had to ride some ups and downs through that, obviously. So you really have to ask the question, and only you know this answer, are you wired for that? Are you wired for that type of risk? Or do you want to dial it down some? And in fact, here's another way to look at it. What if you put some aside where it was guaranteed? You diversified, in other words. Could you actually afford to be even more aggressive, if you were so inclined, on the remainder? If you locked down some of it, of some of your portfolio, you knew it was insured, guaranteed, and all that, and was going to take care of your needs throughout the rest of your life, retirement, whatever. Could you then take the remaining funds and take a flyer, be more aggressive, maybe get an even higher return? The answer is yes. because if that risk doesn't pan out, you haven't risked the money that you know you're going to need in retirement. Risking what you know you're going to need doesn't make, this is not good financial sense. Now, I want to change gears here for a minute. Talk about real estate. Real estate's a little more complicated than the economy and the stock market at this point, and interest rates and all that, because real estate really is about location, location, location. We've all heard that. We have a bifurcated market. What's starting to happen is we're seeing a situation where the amount of homes for sale, the availability of homes, particularly in regions in the southern U.S., particularly Texas and Florida, they're having an increase in inventory. See, that's one of the main reasons why housing prices have remained strong is because there's been a shortage of inventory throughout much of the country. But that is now really starting to change, again, in places like Texas and Florida, where the number of new houses for sale is nearly doubled. And in some of these places, they're now hitting all-time highs of homes for sale or available for sale ever since they started counting this in the early 70s. So my point is, when you have a basic supply and demand, when you have more supply, prices in general are going to go down. We haven't seen it happen yet, but there's almost no way for this to continue, particularly in those markets. Also, the percentage of the mortgage payment in terms of income is at some of the highest levels we've seen. For the average American, the average mortgage payment right now is about 44% of their income. Anything above 32% is considered expensive. The only other time where we saw it rise to those kinds of levels was actually in the late 1970s, where we saw 20% interest rates. And it got up to 58% at one point, where the average home payment, if you bought a home with like an 18 or 20% mortgage or interest rate on the mortgage, your mortgage payment would have averaged over half of your income. And that was unsustainable, obviously, and it crashed significantly from that point over the next decade. So are we going to see that type of thing happen again? I'd say most likely in some of the markets, again, the areas where we are starting to have some inventory, like Florida and Texas, most likely. Other places where the inventory is still short, probably less likely. And that's why some of these articles where you see like massive housing bubble about to burst, again, I believe that may be true in certain parts of the country, like I said, where they have higher inventory now levels, but in other parts of the country now, not so much. So really, again, it's going to come down to what part of the country, what's the availability, you know, that those are the kinds of things you need to look at. But there's no question that housing affordability is some of the worst it's ever been. And if you were to, say, purchase a home at this point, like this strategist states, it could easily take a decade for you to get, you know, in other words, you overpaid for the price and the interest rate and everything else. It could take you a decade to get back to even with a house purchase right now. Not unreasonable to expect. Housing is tricky. You have to have a place to live. Rents aren't cheap either. Again, it just depends a lot on where you live. If you want some direction on that, again, you can contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I have some tremendous folks like John Burley, who he's been on the show a number of times, I can steer you towards, who are really true real estate experts. But if you want some more information or advice on that in your situation, I'd be happy to talk to you again at yourpersonalbank.com. Stay tuned for the last segment because I got a few other things. Well, there's something regarding Social Security that I believe you may not be aware of. So this is something that's going to be super important for anybody who is either on or planning to be on Social Security anytime in their relatively near future.
Concerned about market risk? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Diversification is one of the best ways to offset risk. Your Personal Bank is not affected by the stock or real estate markets. It is an uncorrelated asset that provides true diversification. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me. Again, yourpersonalbank.com or toll free 866-268-4422. Again, 866-268-4422. The Social Security trustees have predicted that in about a decade, Social Security will only be able to pay something around 75, 80% of its benefits. That's given if nothing changes. But to make matters worse now, and this should infuriate anyone who plans to receive Social Security, is that President Biden has now made it legal for Ukrainian immigrants to get Social Security checks. Well, these are not people that have contributed into the system. They've not been citizens. They've not worked here and done any of that. And now they're starting to take from the system, which obviously will drain Social Security that much faster. If you don't like this type of policy, remember it's the Biden administration, the Democrats that are doing this. If you want to ensure you're going to have Social Security and have it continue to be available, you probably don't want to vote Democrat because they're doing things to deplete it even faster. And as more illegal immigrants come into the countries, then allow more of them to access benefits, Social Security, whatever that may be, it's going to drain those programs even quicker, which means they'll run out of money even sooner. And right now, the predictions are about a decade or less, so it could get worse than that. But let me give you another example. What households are in the United States are actually on welfare? Well, it turns out that 59% of illegal immigrants are receiving some form of government assistance or welfare, whether that be cash, food, Medicaid, or housing. By the way, Medicaid is another one of those programs that may not be able to pay full benefits in a decade or less, according to the trustees. Of the legal immigrants, it turns out over half, this part surprised me, but 52% of legal immigrants receive some sort of welfare benefit from the government. Now, of course, the government has no money, right? Where does the money come from? Taxpayers, citizens who pay taxes, or they print because they spend more than they receive, which means higher inflation, higher costs of everything for everyone. So whether you're receiving benefits or whether you're paying into the system and not receiving, you're still having to pay more for goods and services because of the excess government spending. It turns out only 39% of native-born Americans are on welfare or some sort of welfare. So again, whether it's illegal or legal immigration, the majority are on some form of government assistance or government benefit. I'm sorry. Obviously, in my opinion, if you're an illegal immigrant, you deserve nothing. In fact, you do not deserve to even be here. It's illegal to be here. Why are you receiving any sort of government benefit? Why are our taxpayer dollars and printed dollars going to these people? We have no responsibility for them, and for us to be paying for them is beyond ridiculous. And there's no argument or question both parties have been guilty of allowing illegal immigration. I have issues with both parties, but the Democrats by far are far more in favor of it and vote down or against anything that hinders illegal immigration by any stretch, by even the tiniest amount. So again, if you don't like the idea of your taxpayer dollars or our welfare benefits or Social Security or anything else going to illegals, you probably should change who you vote for. If you've been voting Democrat, you might want to reconsider what direction, where your vote goes. And not only just not voting for Democrats, but how about let's vote for fiscally responsible representatives, not just rhino Republicans who love to spend money also, but actually fiscally responsible conservative representatives that will actually represent us, the citizens. That's supposed to be their job, right? So anyway, I thought that was very interesting on that. Here's another point that I like to make. You know, requiring voter IDs is some people consider racist. It prevents black people from voting. Well, it turns out that just about every African country also requires voter ID to vote. Countries like Botswana and Ethiopia, Nigeria and Sudan, you name it, Zambia, all of those countries require voter ID to vote. They don't consider it racist, so why is it racist here? It's just a dog whistle, folks. Plain and simple, just a dog whistle. Ignore it. It's BS. I love this one. When is a valid ID required? Obviously, to board a plane, get a prescription, apply for a job, cash a check, apply for food stamps, driving, getting married, adopting a pet, or buying alcohol. Of course, when a valid ID is not required in many cases, when you vote. Voting is more important than most of those other things, yet it's not required. Again, it's beyond ridiculous. It's just so that more illegal immigration can occur, and then the Democrats can harvest those ballots. Again, it's not about the illegals voting. It's about the ballot harvesting so that they can then, they need the bodies to provide the ballots, which is where the election interference comes in and the cheating comes in. And anybody at this point who denies that is just not a reasonable person. I'm sorry, they're just not. And that's why I hate my tax dollars and yours going towards paying for people that waste more of our tax dollars, which basically includes the entire Biden administration and just about every Democrat, because, again, they vote mass in block almost every time. This is one of the best ideas I've heard, and it's from Warren Buffett, in terms of how do we reduce the U.S. deficit. And he shared this about a decade ago, so it's not a new idea. It's starting to gain some traction because the deficit has gotten so high. Warren Buffett said this: if you want to reduce end the U.S. deficit in 5 minutes, here's how you do it. You pass a law that states anytime there's a deficit of more than 3% of GDP, all sitting members of Congress are ineligible for reelection. I think it's a brilliant idea. That would solve the problem, like Warren Buffett said, literally overnight. They would stop the spending. Somehow we got to figure out how to get that accomplished. Now, here's some things that I find, some thoughts, almost chilling. And I think you're going to understand why. I saw a couple of posts here that a lot of people say, well, I'm still the mindset we can overwhelm the Democrat election fraud with a tsunami of Trump voters. And I'm hopeful of that, too, because the polls are looking favorable, you know, and people are getting fed up and they're waking up. And I'm very encouraged by that. I think the American people will eventually save this country and pull it back in the right direction. That's what my hope is. And then, the true deep state cleanup and get rid of these people. We don't need 3 million federal employees. Give me a break. Stuff like that. But as he pointed out, if the Biden regime is able to steal this election in this November like they did in 2020, all I know is more than 100 million Americans will fully and conclusively believe we do not live in a free country. And here's the point that's chilling. I pray for our nation because I do not know what comes after that. And then this other one, this point I thought, and this was from John Rich, which I thought was very appropriate. It says, if votes are not legitimate, then anything that takes place after those votes is not legitimate. And even Elon Musk has been chiming in on this quite a bit lately, where he says, when you combine mail-in ballots, the system is designed to make it impossible to prove fraud. Mail-in and drop-in box ballots should not be allowed. He's right. As he states, mail-in ballots and drop boxes should not be allowed. And here's why these messages, I think, as I pointed out, are chilling. If indeed, for whatever reason, the election fraud, the fake ballots, because we got millions of illegals in this country now. Again, they don't have to vote. They just have to produce a ballot. And there, millions of them are getting driver's licenses. And it's a fact. You can go to the DMV and see the documents. They're automatically registering them to vote. So they have a ballot. Most of those illegals will not vote because they understand they're illegals. But there's a ballot floating around. Who's going to put that ballot into the system? The Democrats' machine has been doing this now for decades. They've just been refining this and getting better and better, and more people are aware of this. That's the good news. But if they manage to pull this off and fraudulently, illegitimately steal another election, human history is not a good sign of what's going to happen. In fact, even the history of our own country, the revolution was a bloody event. I hope and pray that we don't come to something like that. But if you have a number of people that are feel disenfranchised, again, like this one post said, 100 million Americans feel disenfranchised. What if just 1% of those take action and do something about it? That's a million people out there that are upset, angry, frustrated, and willing to take action. We are also have the most guns of any society in history. We also have a history of freedom. Most countries don't have that. I'm not sure how we would react to something like that. We've seen it in other countries. I've shared many times. I'm half Hungarian. My dad escaped from the Soviets in 1956. The Hungarians had taken over the country. It was the first uprising behind the wall, Iron Curtain, I should say. And the Hungarians actually achieved independence for about 3 months until the Soviets came in, rolled the tanks, and imposed martial law. And things got really ugly for quite some time. At that point, if you were a male of fighting age, three choices. You could go to jail, Soviets round you up, you go to the gulag, be killed, or escape. That was your three choices. I'm not saying we're going to go to that point, but there was a fighting spirit among the Hungarian people, and we saw that in other uprisings in Czechoslovakia, and then in Poland in 1980, eventually, which caused ultimately the wall to fall. Those were not pretty times to live through. Those were ugly times. And we have a far bigger country with far more history of freedom and a lot more guns out there, folks. What I'm trying to say is if anybody encourages or involves or thinks positively that doing things unethically, doing anything to dissolve or reduce the value of legitimate voting is extraordinarily detrimental to our country, to our way of life, our society, our system of government. You as an American should reject that completely and wholeheartedly. This isn't about political parties anymore. It's not about right, left, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, anything like that. We are all Americans. American citizens should be the only ones to vote. They're the only ones that should have the right to vote, and they're the only ones that their vote should count. And Americans deserve to know that their vote is legitimate, not diluted by illegals, cheating, fraud, or anything else for that matter. They deserve transparency. That is the foundation of a representative republic. To mess with that, to interfere with that, to play with that is playing with fire and is un-American. Contact me at yourpersonalbank.com for more information on how to weather this uncertainty we're dealing with economically and otherwise. Stay tuned next week for some more great information as always. And as long as it's on our money, in God we trust.
Would you like to sponsor the Your Personal Bank show hosted by Ference Toth? We are looking for like-minded partners who want to join our rapidly growing radio show. I frequently state, economic freedom is freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote, a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to democracy. Contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com to help increase financial literacy and protect our freedoms.
Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. This show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information. The presenter and guests of this program do not engage in legal, accounting, or tax advice. Professional advice regarding your situation should be sought if required.
Economic freedom is freedom, and our freedoms are under attack. I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. In this time of uncertainty, can you grow your money safely, reduce taxes, and ensure you don't run out of money in retirement? Your Personal Bank earns dividends with guarantees, insured and tax-free. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to connect with the world around you. Now, imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
Standing at the edge of a rocky shore, you breathe in the cool, salty air, watching the sun disappear on the horizon. Across the globe, someone begins their day along a sandy beach, listening to the rhythm of the crashing waves. You each envision a world beneath the water, vibrant life in every imaginable form. Now, imagine it's all gone. What was once a place of wonder and beauty is now a dull, lifeless wasteland. Food, jobs, medicine, all gifts from the ocean, all gone. Time is running out to protect our oceans. And without our love, everything the oceans provide can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our oceans. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.